There are 3,000 stillbirths across the UK every year, and there are 3,500 babies who die shortly after birth, sometimes because of complications during the birthing process, sometimes because of other reasons. But of those, now think about those figures, 6,500 babies. Now, that is the equivalent of 16 jumbo jets filled with babies every year crashing. Or to think about it another way, one baby every hour and a half. And unless we put things in place to reduce those figures, then that must mean we think that's okay. That's an acceptable level of loss. And it's not.
Where does that put us in comparison with other countries?
31 out of 33 in Europe. Okay. So we're almost at the bottom. In Scotland, there has been some improvements in recent years, but we've still got a long way to go to be comparable to our European neighbours. And I think the reason the figures are so bad, I mean, I can't speak for other countries, but I think in the United Kingdom, I think the reason the figures are so bad is because when it happens to families, the irony is, if it hasn't happened to you, it's not something you think about. Why would you? If it has happened to you, you don't know how to talk about it. So if you've got no direct experience of it, it's not on your radar. Most people are very surprised at the scale of the numbers. And if it has happened to you, you're simply, too often parents feel unequal to the task of talking about it. It is a taboo. I mean, I've heard reports of women who've had a stillbirth and their neighbours cross the road to avoid speaking to them because they don't know what to say. That's how much it's in the shadows. Just don't talk about it and it'll go away. The shocking thing about the statistics is that one in three of all, and this is, I think this statistic is heartbreaking, one in three of all stillbirths in both England and Scotland, one in three are babies at full term. And any medical professional that you speak to, whether it's a GP, a consultant, a midwife, doesn't matter what level in the profession they're at, they will all tell you if a baby can survive a full-term pregnancy, barring some freak accident, there's no reason why they shouldn't be born alive. So there's right there, one in three, we could do something about that. But in order to impact upon those figures, what we need to do is understand why babies are dying at full term. Because if we work that out, then we'll know what we're missing earlier on and we can work back the way and sort the figures out when babies die earlier than full term. But the ones that I think we can learn most from are the ones at full term, because clearly this is where things have been missed that show up earlier. So we can monitor that more closely. And I've spoken to people in the medical profession about this, and they agree that that is the way you would tackle it. You'd start at the end and work back.
Like you're saying, what are the ones that we can save the easiest?
Well, no, the ones that we can learn most from,
right,
okay, are the stillbirths at full term. And once we understand why they're dying, then we can monitor for those things earlier in pregnancy, so that we don't have to be fighting against, you know, against saving them at the end. We can be monitoring at the end so that we learn about any issues that might arise early in the pregnancy, and so that at the end there are no complications like that, you know. So the problem with this is that it's probably the only thing that I can think of that people don't talk about, and it has never been debated in the Commons until I had a stillbirth debate in the 9th of June. First time it had ever been debated in the Commons, which, when you think of the scale of those figures, every MP will have a number of people in their constituency year upon year upon year who are going through this, and nobody's talking about it. And it's not just, you know, if you want to be hard-headed about it, it's not just the babies, it's the fallout on society. It's about the marital breakdown that very often follows. It's about the days lost at work, it's about the mental health issues that arise. You know, so there's a whole social cost to this as well.
So do you think that without you being an MP right now, this maybe wouldn't be getting dealt with?
Well, I'm not going to make out I'm God, but I think I have done a bit of work here to put it on the agenda. I got a lot of coverage when I did the stillbirth debate in June, and that momentum has been built upon with the debate the other day, and I've also been doing press on it, and I've also been lobbying ministers hard in both the UK and the Scottish Government. Now, you might say, well, why are you lobbying this UK government? Health's devolved. Not really your business what happens in England. And there is a sense in which that is true. However, on an issue like this, I think we need improvements, and we need them as quickly as we can get them. And there are some things that are easy to do, and there are some things that are much more difficult to get when you ask for them because they cost money and it's all the rest of it. I will lobby anybody because my understanding, I genuinely believe, as in a lot of things, if we can improve things in one part of the United Kingdom, wherever that might be, then improvement will follow in other bits of the United Kingdom. Because let's say, for example, the Scottish Government does something tomorrow that is considered to be really important in trying to deal with this issue. There's no way the UK government are going to ignore that. They'll say, well, maybe we should, let's have a look at that, maybe we'll do that. And vice versa. If the UK government do something that is really important in the tool of, you know, fighting against this, the Scottish government would be, you know, be silly and under great pressure to look at it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever the improvement comes, ultimately it'll bring everybody up.
Yeah. So you obviously think that there... Was it a fatal accident inquiry you think should be carried out after each stillbirth?
Well, not every stillbirth, but where there is any suggestion or possibility that it's been down to malpractice or things being missed, I think that's where we should go. Now, fatal accident inquiries are hugely expensive and quite complicated procedures, but the more you invest in it now, as time goes on and you build up your intelligence and your knowledge of why stillbirths occur, then you'll have fewer stillbirths. So you'll have less need for these because you'll be learning with each one. And I think that's what we need. There's no other way to fix this than by being better at what we do. And you can only get better if you learn more. And in England, of course, it would be the coroner's thing, you know, about getting coroners involved and the coroner deciding how to take the investigation forward. What we have at the moment, right across the United Kingdom, when these things occur, like in my case, but the tragedy of my case is that it's very, very far from unique. It should be unique.
So you're 100% sure that it wasn't a one-off?
Well, the figures tell their own story.
Mm.
Anybody who's had a stillbirth at full term, the medics themselves say that shouldn't happen. Why would the baby survive the whole pregnancy and die at the end, unless things at the end have been missed or things earlier on that created the end were missed? So I mean, that's the I don't have any medical insight or expertise beyond my own experience, but that's what the medics will tell you. You ask anybody involved in medicine, they'll tell you that. God, what was I saying before?
I was just asking you if you were sure that it wasn't a one-off.
No. It wasn't a one-off. If it was a one-off, it would be easy to brush aside what happened to me for the profession, but the shutters come down. What are you hiding? I was talking about the fatal accident inquiries, wasn't I? I was talking about the coroners.
Yeah, well, you were saying that it wasn't important. You didn't think this should happen after every stillbirth, but definitely
no.
A full-term stillbirth.
Or unless there's something else at play. You know, if there's something else that as long as if there's any suggestion that something has been missed that's created this, and in every parent's case when they have a stillbirth at full term, it only can be because they've missed something. But there'll be other cases where that's not the case, when it's just I don't know if the baby might die very shortly after or just before birth because of some, I don't know, congenital defect or something else at play, but all else being equal. But you see, if you do this, over time, fairly quickly, I would think, the need to do it will be reduced because the numbers will be reduced. You know, because you'll be able to say, we know that when XYZ happens, this is a danger sign, and here's how we head that danger off, or here's how we deal with it so that we don't get to the point where the baby actually dies, you know. I mean, if somebody had picked up in my blood that I'd HELLP syndrome, they probably would have delivered me early. But nobody picked it up.
So tell me a little bit about HELLP syndrome.
Now, there would have been a time when I could have given you chapter and verse on this, but I honestly try not to think too much about it. It shows up in your blood, and it's unmistakable. It's a form of preeclampsia. And it's the symptoms tend to be, there are other symptoms, but the symptoms tend to be where you get a band of pain around your middle, which is exactly what I had. But then the pain spreads out to your whole body. Now, HELLP syndrome is a kind of thing that you and I probably haven't heard of. But if you're working, if you're an obstetrician and you're working in maternity, you will have heard of it and you will know the symptoms. And yet, when I turned up with the textbook symptoms, I was made to feel I was in the way, I was a nuisance, I was panicking, I was over-anxious, I was giving them work to do. Why can't you just go home and be quiet? And unfortunately, you know the charity SANS?
Yeah.
SANS have done some work on this, and they have come up with some horrific, horrific statistics. They surveyed, just randomly, 100 mothers who'd suffered a stillbirth. And 45% of those mothers reported that they had presented at their GP or at accident emergency saying something's not right. And they were sent home only for their baby to die shortly after. Now, there's right there. You're talking about making an impact on the figures. What about if we just listen to women? What impact could that have on the figures if you're getting 45% of women saying, well, I was just told to go home and I didn't really know what I was talking about? You know?
Who was it that made you feel like you were being a nuisance?
The nurse. The nurse when I arrived. It took me 5 hours to get a bed.
Would she have been a midwife? Or would she?
I've no idea.
Right.
I've no idea. I think it was a maternity ward. My memory actually is quite hazy because I was in so much pain, and the next morning I was just wheeled out. I think it was, I've got a vague memory of the woman across the bed talking to me about being pregnant. I think she was trying to make me feel better because I was in so much pain, and she was trying to distract me by chatting to me, even though it was dead late at night. A maternity nurse, pretty sure. But you know, all she had to do was summon a doctor. That's all she had to do. She didn't have to trust her own judgment about what was wrong with me or diagnose anything. All she had to do was say, I've got a woman here and it's a bit weird because she's dead sore and I don't know what's wrong with her. That's all she had to do. You know, I mean, I didn't expect her to perform surgery there and then. So 45% of women sent home, 45% of women who've had a stillbirth were sent home and they presented with saying things aren't right. Now, what if we just listen to these women? You know?
You mean like everyone knows their own body best? You don't need to be a doctor.
I keep saying that. Women know their own body. See, if you feel that there's something not right, there's a fair chance that something isn't right. Now, some of these women will just be anxious. But can we take the chance, given these figures? What about if we just, you know, listen to all of them and check the heartbeat or check whatever it is they think isn't right? You know? And some of those women, you'll make a real difference and you'll save their babies. And some of them, you know, they've just kind of taken up your time. But you know what? Maybe that's all part of the care package. Because if you're an expectant mother and you are just over-anxious, part of reassuring you is about your general well-being as well.
But what's stopping this happening? Like, is it realistic? Can we afford it?
Well,
harsh and robot.
Well, I'll tell you right now, it costs more for me to go into hospital and have a stillbirth with all the medical complications that brings, the potential mental health counselling I might need, the potential fallout to society about marriage breakdowns, which are very commonplace after this. It costs more to do that than to give me a 5-minute checkup. So spend a little, save a lot.
So do you think that at the time when you were taken in, there was quite a lot of overstretching?
No, I don't think. There was empty beds. Too often, and this isn't true in every case, of course it isn't, but too often in medical circles, people think they know better than the patient, but they need to listen to what patients are telling them. You know, I am when I look back, I am astonished that a woman who's at her due date and has never presented before with any problems. So it's not like I'm there every day going, oh, something wrong with me today, oh, something else wrong with me today. It's not like I'm there every 5 minutes. I've presented with problems, I'm at my due date, I'm in a high-risk category because of IVF and my age, and I'm in terrible pain that nobody asked, or the nurse, or somebody didn't say, I wonder what's wrong with her.